Okay, this is Derek Alatorre with South Coast AQMD. Welcome to the Paramount Community Update. Before we start, I want to just make an announcement, and we apologize. The Spanish call-in number, we gave the wrong toll area code. It should read 888-394-8197, and we apologize for that. We're going to go ahead and start the call. We're going to do introductions around the table here at AQMD, and then we'll start with the presentations.
Wayne Astray, Acting Executive Officer for the South Coast AQMD.
Derek Alatorre, Deputy Executive Officer.
Jason Lowe, Monitoring and Analysis.
Bay Gilchrist, Compliance and Enforcement.
Cher Snyder, Compliance and Enforcement.
Susan Nakamura, Planning and Rules.
Joe K. Gosh, Planning and Rules.
Sam Atwood, Media Officer.
Lockett Desopoulos, Engineering and Permitting.
Kurt Weiss, General Counsel.
Thank you very much. And also want to make sure to remind you that if you have questions, to send an email to publicadvisor@aqmd.gov. All right, we'll be addressing the questions at the very end of the call. So anticipate there'll be some questions being asked of us, and we'll answer them at the end. So we'll start off, and the first update is going to come from enforcement, and that's Dr. Cher Snyder.
Good morning. We are continuing to have a presence in the city of Paramount. We are attempting to ensure that we have staff available positioned in Paramount and the immediate area surrounding the city who can be available to respond to air quality complaints as we receive them. We have received a few complaints over the last few days, and we'll continue to follow up on those as they come in. In addition, we've continued to investigate a number of facilities that have come to our attention in the city of Paramount. We are today taking enforcement action against one facility by the name of Anaplex, and we are issuing that facility a notice of violation. That notice will be served in a little while to the facility. They'll be receiving it today for a number of violations.
This is Kurt Weiss, the General Counsel. Today we're also filing a petition for order for abatement with the AQMD Hearing Board. The Hearing Board is an administrative hearing body independent from the AQMD, but located here at the headquarters building in Diamond Bar. The order for abatement will ask one of two things: that the two facilities that are identified in the petition, and those two facilities are Anaplex and Aircraft, that they either cease operation or take steps to no longer violate AQMD requirements, including our rule, our public nuisance rule. The petition also names DOE respondents. If companies are identified in the future that are substantially contributing to the high chrome levels in the Paramount community, those facilities will be added to the petition at a later date. We are requesting a December 14 hearing date. Our expectation is that the hearing will be conducted on December 14 in Diamond Bar. We will know for sure and be able to provide the community with a hearing time once the petition is filed. I want to point out that the hearings are public hearings, and that addition, the public has an opportunity to testify at the hearings.
And just additional follow-up, we are continuing to inspect and investigate other facilities within the city of Paramount, and based on our findings, that information will be made available as it comes up.
Thank you, Dr. Snyder and Mr. Weiss. Next, we're going to go to Dr. Lockie Tassopoulos to update you on any permitting issues.
Thank you, Derek. So our staffing, jointly with our enforcement staff, are scrutinizing the actual operating conditions in those facilities and comparing those to their permits and permit conditions. That scrutiny, that evaluation actually resulted in us identifying quite a few discrepancies between these two, which led to the preparations and seemed to be the issuance of several notices of violations. We started with Anaplex and we intend to continue this work with other facilities that are located upwind of those elevated Chrome 6 readings.
Thank you, Dr. Tassopoulos. Next, we're going to have Dr. Jason Lowe update you on monitoring.
Thank you, Derek. So ongoing monitoring for hexavalent chromium continues downwind in the community and also in the industrial areas of Paramount, focusing along a particular street, Madison Avenue, where elevated levels were observed. We have some updated results from the past week. Results from Sunday, November 20th, indicated that there were some elevated levels, but overall they were lower than what we typically were observing in previous measurements. It is of note that it is a Sunday. Measurements were also conducted on Thanksgiving, November 24th, and the preliminary results indicate that they are mostly near background levels. Now, these are levels that we typically would see across the basin. These are not elevated levels, with exception to a couple of monitors located at Minnesota and Madison. The next sampling day is today. As mentioned, there was some source test screening that was conducted on the facilities a couple weeks ago. And as indicated, we will coordinate with the facility contractors if they wish to do some follow-up source testing. The preliminary results from that test indicated that there are several processes of concern that show high levels of chrome. One operation in particular has three times the chrome levels that were observed in a similar facility that had processes that were not controlled. The results will be posted to our website. And the last update is that we will be having a draft update to our plan for expanded monitoring in Paramount.
Thank you, Dr. Lowe. Next, I'm going to give it to Susan Nakamura. Go ahead, Susan.
So for the rule development for Rule 1430, which is the rule to control emissions from grinding operations at forging facilities, we have a working group meeting. It's a technical working group meeting on Thursday, December 1st at 5:30. I'm not sure the we're going to pull up the location. And then we're also doing a briefing with the Teachers Association of Paramount at 4 o'clock on the same day and to talk about proposed Rule 1430. So this is the fourth working group meeting.
Thank you, Susan. Next, community outreach. Last week we issued a new flyer indicating the new call-in number for toll-free. For the Spanish speaking, we're going to reissue the flyer again because it was the wrong toll area code. So we'll be updating that and sending that out today. That's it for community outreach. Next, I'll turn it over to Sam Atwood, and Sam is going to be speaking on media issues.
Thank you, Derek. We continue to respond to numerous news media inquiries about our operations in Paramount. And we will be issuing a news release on some of the actions that we've been discussing this morning relative to our enforcement actions.
Thank you, Sam. With that, that's all of our updates. We're going to go ahead and start accepting questions. So if you have any questions, please submit them again to publicadvisor@aqmd.gov. I'm going to put it on mute for now, okay? Okay, we got the first question. The first question comes from Mary Sue Maurer from DTSC. Is the Spanish new number working? No, Mary Sue, well, it was the wrong area code that we put on there on the flyer, so we're updating that. It's going to be sent out, but I did mention it on the call. Just for updating, the new the correct area code is 888. The phone number is correct, 394-8197. Again, it's 888-394-8197. And just to let you know, there's a Spanish interpreter that is on the phone, that is translating the presentation, and will also be available to translate the questions that we receive. Again, if you have any questions, please submit them via email to publicadvisor@aqmd.gov. We got one from Jane Williams. What will be the radius of the enhanced monitoring?
So we're looking at a extended north-south line from the original plan. So I don't have the streets in front of me, but the plan will have a map which details the area of focus for this updated plan.
All right, thank you.
We'll post that plan on the website.
All right, we got a question from Esther Lopez. Did you monitor on Sunday and Thanksgiving for comparison to previous levels? I'm trying to understand why monitors were placed on a weekend and on a holiday. Both days are likely to have low readings.
So this is Jason again. That is exactly the reason why we conduct some monitoring on different days of the week. Our regular monitoring schedule actually covers all days of the week to account for different variations. A lot of times when looking at particularly industrial sources, they are operating on a certain schedule. So if there are days that show differences in the data that can maybe be linked, then that's a reason to have the monitors out there on those particular days.
Thank you, Jason. We're going to wait for more questions. Again, if you have a question, please email it to publicadvisor@aqmd.gov. Okay, we got another question from Esther. It says, were you able to speak to the city regarding their holiday train program? Did they reconsider rerouting to avoid the areas with high levels of chromium 6?
So the city and the Department of Public Health are discussing today, and hopefully there'll be a decision from the city today based on that input.
Okay, this next question is from Rubina Sewell. Did AQMD respond to calls made by residents last night concerned about emissions?
This is Cher. I'd like to get back to you on that, Rubina, if I might. I need to check with staff and find out how many calls we've received so that I can provide you with more specific information. So I'll be happy to respond to you after this phone call is over. Thank you.
Okay, the next question is from Rebecca from KPCC. Are these businesses responsible for elevated levels? What operations were responsible? Are they still operating now? How did AQMD figure it out? So why don't we do this? Are businesses responsible for the elevated levels? Jason, can you address that one?
So as mentioned, we did some source test screening and identified some processes at particular businesses that would lend itself to high chromium levels. So based upon that information and also monitoring that has been occurring for the past couple months, lends strong evidence for certain facilities to be responsible for these emissions. It doesn't say that it's responsible for all of the levels that are observed on that particular monitor, but at least it confirms that certain facilities that were part of the source test screening can contribute to those high levels that were observed in the ambient monitors.
Thank you, Jason. I think that answers your question number two, what operations were responsible? Your next question, Rebecca, was, are they still operating now?
To our knowledge, the facilities are operating now, yes.
Okay, thank you, Cher. And then how did AQMD figure it out?
Again, this was a combination of compliance and monitoring and source testing. So the presence outside using the monitoring data as a survey, and then the on-site presence of compliance and source test engineering staff and some tests that were conducted to identify.
Thank you, Dr. Lowe. Next question is from Tony Barbosa of the LA Times. You have about three questions here. For the first one, do you believe Anaplex and Aerocraft are responsible or are major contributors to the high levels of hexavalent chromium detected recently? You want to answer? Who wants to answer that one?
Yeah, this is Kurt Weiss, the general counsel. Again, as I mentioned, we are filing a petition for order for abatement today that names Anaplex and Aerocraft. And so we believe that they are substantially contributing to the high chrome levels in the Paramount community.
Thank you, Kurt. Cher, can you answer this one? Are you taking any enforcement action against Aerocraft? Did you find any violations there?
We've not yet taken enforcement action against Aerocraft. We're in the process of completing our investigation there. And we should have findings available from our investigation within the next couple of days. And depending what those findings are, we may in fact take enforcement action. But we're not prepared to do that just at the moment.
Thank you, Cher. Next question from Mr. Barbosa is...
Yeah, this is Kurt Weiss, General Counsel. Just to clarify, the order for abatement, as I mentioned, will include Aerocraft, so we are taking enforcement action against Aerocraft.
Okay, the next question that Mr. Barbosa has is, for each facility, Aerocraft and Anaplex, can you describe in more detail what you found that was wrong with their operations? What specifically were they doing that may have resulted in the release of hexavalent chromium?
You know, the allegations that we're relying upon for the order for abatement will be included in our petition for order for abatement, and we'll get a copy posted on our website, and Tony will provide you with a copy of the petition once it's filed.
Thank you, Kurt. Next question is from Jane Williams. Why would your last two monitoring dates be on days that you would not expect to see emissions? Has the city given you permission to test on public property?
So this is Jason. I think I answered the first question already. So I'll go to the second question. Has the city given us permission? So yes, before we even did the expanded monitor, this initial set of expanded monitoring, we worked with the city and Southern California Edison to achieve access to do our expanded suite of measurements.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Lowe. We're going to wait for some additional email questions. Again, email address is publicadvisor@aqmd.gov. Wait about another minute or so to see if there are any other questions. So we've got a question from James Simonelli. Is Hexchrome coming from grinding operations at Forgers? And then the second question is, has SCAQD enforcement inspected any metal finishing businesses without permits? Rogue operators may be contributing to Hexchrome but not operating with permits. So is Hex, the first question is Hexchrome coming from grinding operation Forgers?
It can be from grinding operations, but it can also be from plating operations. So they can both be contributing to the ambient concentration.
Any other?
James, I think this question came up in the working group for proposed Rule 1430, and when we had looked at the monitoring data back near Carlton Forge, and the hexavalent chrome emissions didn't track with the nickel levels for the monitors, was an indication that there could be another source other than grinding that was contributing to the hexavalent chrome. That was kind of an indication. I want to just follow up. I think Jane Williams had asked a question in terms of, and there were the two questions in regards to the location, the our monitoring and monitoring on Thanksgiving. Just to add to that a little bit is that it's helpful for us when we look at a holiday like Thanksgiving when you would expect most businesses to be shut down. And it gives us an indication if there is someone that's doing a different operation or they're operating on Thanksgiving, may give us an indication for more information that might not be available on a typical operating day. So there's definitely value when we look at a Sunday or we look at a special holiday. So it's we combine our compliance staff with that to provide that additional information.
Thank you, Susan. The next part of James's question is, has SCAQMD enforcement inspected any metal finishing businesses without permits? Rogue operators that may be contributing to the Hexchrome but not operating with permits.
James, this is Cher. Thanks for your question. We have, in fact, inspected a number of businesses that are operating without permits, and in at least one case have taken enforcement action against a facility that required permits but was operating without them. We are extending the scope of that investigation to include a number of other metal finishing businesses, metal handling, metal processing businesses within the city to determine whether they also need permits from this agency and whether they may be subject to other regulatory requirements within our purview.
Thank you, Dr. Snyder. Next question is coming from Tony Barbosa again from the LA Times. He has a few questions about how many other facilities remain under investigation in Paramount. We'll start off with the first one to answer the first one. again about how many other facilities remain under investigation in Paramount.
Tony, this is Kurt Reese, General Counsel. It's an ongoing investigation. There are a number of facilities that we're looking at, but at this point, the substance of our investigation is confidential. We can't do anything. We expect that the investigation will lead to legal proceedings. We can't do anything at this time that will compromise either the investigation or those legal proceedings.
Thank you, Mr. Weiss. The next question that Mr. Barbosa has, what is the highest concentration of hexachrome detected in the South Coast Basin?
So this is Jason. So as noted, one of the highest concentrations that was observed from this study was 26 nanograms per cubic meter. That is amongst the highest of the 24-hour average measurements that has been seen in the basin. We have seen some levels, about 30, that were shorter term, 8-hour measurements. So these are amongst the highest of the ambient readings that we have seen.
And those 30, the 30 nanograms, where was that? Is that in Paramount also or no?
No, that was in Orange County.
Orange County, thank you. Next question from Mr. Barbosa. Last week you told us background level of hexavalent chromium in Paramount is 0.06 nanograms per cubic meter. So aren't the high levels, 26 nanograms per cubic meter detected in the city more than 430 times background rather than 350 times you stated?
What we had said was the 0.06 was the basin-wide average based on our MATES 4, based on 10 monitoring stations throughout the air basin. That's the basis of the 0.06 nanograms per cubic meter. And then at the time we had released the press release for the 350 times, we had three data points, and the three data points that we had averaged was for what we refer to as site number 8. And those three data points, those levels were 26, 25, and 12. And we averaged those three values, and I think it was like something like 17. So you divide that with 0.06, that was the 350 times. Now if we take the average from site 8, the level in terms of relative to the 0.06 would be less than 350 times.
Thank you, Susan. Next question is from Esther Lopez again. If someone is experiencing physical symptoms that could result from the chromium exposure, who should they notify besides their doctor?
So Esther, this is probably the best question. Best question directed to the LA County Public Health Department. You can call their Toxics Epidemiology Division.
Do you have that number by chance?
I can get it to her. We have her.
All right, I'm going to forward this your email, Esther, to Joe K. Gauch, and she'll be giving you that phone number, okay? Thank you. Next question is from Robina. Is there any AQMD resource that could provide air filtration systems tools to schools and or residents? Anybody?
Yeah, this is Matt Miosato with the Science and Technology Advancement Office. I think as part of our expanded monitoring, we're determining whether that would be necessary, and that's why the first step is really to develop the plan and put monitors where we feel that they'll be needed to understand what the emissions levels are, and then we'll take the next step based on that information on whether they're needed in the schools.
Thank you, Dr. Miosato. As of right now, there's no more questions in the queue, so again, we'll wait a few minutes to see if we get additional questions. The email address, again, is publicadvisor@aqmd.gov.
This is Wayne Nastry. I just want to note that in addition to the enforcement actions that you've heard from the South Coast Air Quality Management District, I just want people to understand that we are working with other agencies, and other agencies are also reviewing the data and reviewing their options. So we may be seeing additional actions by other agencies.
Thank you, Wayne. just waiting to see if there's any more questions. We'll wait about another minute or so. Okay, looks like, let me see, got another question. This one is from Ann Verweel. Were the Chrome 6 samples that should have been collected on 11/23 moved to 11/24 Thanksgiving on purpose?
Yes, this is Jason. So as Susan had mentioned, it is important to not only collect on days that we expect emissions are high, but also just to add more confidence to our measurements and also to kind of close the loop on the question on do we see low levels when certain facilities are not operating. Yes, we do modify the schedule to answer those questions.
Thank you, Dr. Lowe. We'll wait a few more minutes. I'm just going to make mention that for those of you who may have gotten the phone number in Spanish, if you have questions in Spanish, you can submit them again to publicadvisor@aqmd.gov, and the interpreter will be interpreting for us, and we'll answer the questions. Okay, give it about another 20 seconds to see if there's any additional questions, and if not, then we're going to end the call, so give it another 20 seconds. Okay, so that's it. We appreciate your call again. Thank you for being on the call. This call will happen again next week on Tuesday at same time, 11:30. And again, the Spanish number, we apologize for that. The area code was wrong. It is going to be 888-394-8197. And the passcode will be correct. Thank you very much.